All right, we are discussing how to end frustration and anger. This is part two. Thank you for joining the podcast. This is John, your host with End of Effort. You know, oftentimes people have asked me, and we do have an introduction video for what End of Effort means. They're like, what are you talking about? You know, we have to have effort. We put forth effort in everything. I had this guy challenge me on social media, which is often the case, and that's okay, as long as we're not disagreeable in our own level of understanding, right? We can disagree, but being disagreeable means we're not teachable anymore. So anymore, I just seek to understand where somebody's at, rather than saying, oh no, I don't believe that. I just, you know what, forget it. That's just fear-based. But anyway, this guy, he challenged me on effort in relationships. He goes, you know, I've been married a long time and there's a lot of effort involved with relationships. And obviously you haven't been. And I chimed back and I just said, you know, everybody has their own perspective from the level that they see at in their mature state. So whether they're young in their maturity or they're older in their maturity and they have some higher levels, if you will, or greater expansion in their consciousness when it comes to this, it doesn't matter. Everybody's different. They're not the same. And so I just wrote back and said, you know, I've been married 20 years and initially it was filled with effort when I got married. Why? Because I still had a lot of ego structure that was still very much intact. And I didn't understand that it was ego running my show more than it was some evil force opposing me. And see, religion does a good job of trying to paint that picture well, that everything's a demon, everything is spiritually opposing you, and you have to fight your brains out to get those demons off your back, you know? And I found in my growth with the Lord that it's more about our own egoic structure, meaning that my will is involved in a lot of things, a lot of decisions. My will is taking its stand on what I believe to be true in the moment. And that's okay, right? Because that's where you're at in the moment. But the reality is there's much more to see. There's much more in our expanded state in a high level of Christ consciousness that we just are not aware of. And you know, the word says to be renewed and be transformed by the renewing of your mind, rather. And we're transformed not just by scripture study alone, although that's good. But when we stay in that mental ascent, it's just that. Studying scripture is more based in a mental ascent, which is good, okay, to a degree. But if we allow ourselves to go there and take our stand on it, then we become more Pharisaical than free. You know, this is the thing that Jesus dealt with all the time when he walked the planet with a lot of people that were steeped in law. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Sanhedrin, and everybody else, including the disciples. They learned Torah from their youth and studied the prophets. And so when you have that kind of mindset without having enough room to see past ego right into the heart of love standing in front of you in a person called the Word, then we have the potential of stunting our growth and staying at a certain level of understanding. And so that's why it's just vital, friends, that we see things from the perspective that we do, but we hold on loosely to where we're at so that growth can incur and accelerate where needed. But it's our own stubborn ego, the part of us that says, I need safety and security, so I'm going to figure this thing out for myself. God's given us the power to do that, right? I mean, he's given us a free will. He's given us the empowerment by being made in his image to walk forth and get her done, to get stuff done, right? To forge our way and push through the obstacles. And some of that is good. The resilience and the the fortitude and those things in our lives that push through adversity where it's necessary. I get it. But where discernment comes in is to say, am I doing this in my own strength? Or is this Papa leading me in the way and there are obstacles to overcome? Now, how do we know the difference? The difference is practicing living in the space called now. And I talk a lot about this because it's everything. It really is. Living in the present now is in the indwelling of the inclusive, carnative oneness of Christ in us. We're included. We have inclusion with Him. We're fused with Him in this thing called oneness. And what that looks like, we don't see with the naked eye, but we can see a good example of it in a marriage. See, when two become one, it's their spirit fusing together, and then everything else works itself out as you open yourself up to moving beyond ego and remaining in spirit in the present now. So what does that look like practically? Practically speaking, getting back to this person that I responded to that said, oh, everything's effort, everything's sweat and toil in a marriage. It's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Well, first of all, if you believe that it is, then it will be. And you're right. You're absolutely right. What you believe will be so. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you believe that it's going to be hard, then it will be hard for you. You know, it's just that simple. But if you take it deeper than the ego and you say, wait a minute, is love hard? Is falling in love hard? Is being in love hard? Is it sweaty? Is it toilish? If that's even a word. Is it filled with strife? Is it challenging? Is it difficult? Is it hard? That's only what people tell you it is. But it doesn't have to be that way. And how do I know that? Because I've tasted and seen in my own marriage this progression in my own growth. See, I went from standing my ground in ego state, thinking I'm right all the time, and that Amy knows nothing, kind of thing. But I knew better, right? She's brilliant. She's mature. She's very smart. I'm just saying my ego would like me to believe that in the beginning of our marriage. And it was like, oh no, John, you know, you're right. You know, you're a little bit older and, you know, you've lived a little bit more. And after all, you know, she's got a little living to do. So, you know, I've had my time in the trenches and the ghetto and the hood. And, you know, I've know how to live by the street code and some of those things because of my rough past. And you know what all that is? That is pure ego speaking and thinking along those lines, because after all, that's based in survival mentality. You know, when you look at gang members, when you look at the tough guys in the hood and the rough neighborhoods, and they come from this side of the tracks and that side of the tracks into the bad part of town, and they act all tough with tatted up from head to toe, and they're talking all their gang lingo and all the rest. All that is a cover-up from what they're really operating out of, and that's ego embedded in fear. See, survival mentality. I've got to take care of myself because, after all, nobody else did in my upbringing. My dad wasn't around, my mom wasn't around, or my granddaddy wasn't around, kind of mentality. Then you've got to fight for everything you have. That's an orphan mindset. See, because orphans have to fight for everything. They have to scrap for it. Because after all, no one else loves me enough to take care of me when I'm vulnerable and weak as a child. And so I need to become tough real quick or I'm going to be taken out in this bad neighborhood, right? But if you talk to any one of them and get on that heart level, they'll bust open like a baby and start bawling because they are literally riddled with fear. You get down underneath that tough exterior into the interior of the fruit of the Spirit where it abides, whether you're saved or not. It's in there. It's resonant in there. Why? Because you're made in God's image. It just gets ignited and confirmed and illuminated when you say yes to the relationship with Christ, right? But it's in there. The seed bed is there. And so when you get past all the toughness, get down to the meat of the matter, we're made of love. And love is unconditional. And love casts fear out. The issue is we're all covered up by ego stance and survival mentalities. And because we are, love gets buried underneath the tough leather exterior that we just do not want to let anybody into. And then what does it cause us to do when we get older? It causes us to remain in this flight mentality, saying, I don't want responsibility, because then that means I am responsible for something. And when we feel that we're responsible for something, it's too scary. Because after all, we were free letting ego run our lives, doing whatever the heck we wanted to do, because no one could tell us what to do. I mean, after all, I'm forging my own way. I'm driving the ship in my egoic stance. And because I am, I'm not going to let anybody else tell me what to do. It's been working fine so far. My question is, has it? Has it really been working for you? How's that working out for you? Yeah, let's get real. It hasn't. You're in torment. You can't sleep. You know, night sweats, panic attacks, freaking out, filled with fear, but yet you act like everything's okay. It's not. Let's just get real about it. It's not. And so because it's not, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter. This can happen on both sides of the coin. It just doesn't need to mean that this, you know, you have a tough exterior as a woman. You may, but you may not. It could be buried in other ways. Always trying to gain approval from your peers. Always trying to look the part. Put on the smile, and you're just in torment inside because you're living in survival mode. So what this looks like on a practical everyday level, it looks a whole lot like these people that run out there and they try to make a name for themselves. They have the American dream. If you're in a Western country, right, you have this dream of owning some things and getting ahead in life, having the dream job or the dream business or the dream, you know, famous position, wherever that is, you know, if it's in Hollywood or it's in the sports industry or it's, you know, climbing your way up the corporate ladder and you want to be a CEO one day. I don't think innately there's so much wrong with being in those industries. That's not the case. See, because we can find meaning there if we move past the ambition phase in our life. And ambition, again, is the wonder twin of ego. Ambition says, I'm going to make a name for myself. And it doesn't matter what it takes to get there, including losing those and those things that are near and dear to my heart. You see it all the time in the corporate world, you know, where people just work their brains out trying to climb some ladder that's an illusion. Why is it an illusion? Because when you get there and you make the $300,000 salary or the $1 million a year salary from what you've been used to making is $50,000 or whatever it was, and then you get the place called there, and then you find out, wow, I got the new boat, got the new car, got the new house, and it's not satisfying. So what's next? And then you go and you push, force, break all the china in the china shop and lead the way through your bullish mentality. And then you get to the next level and you wind up having two or three wives or husbands, or, you know, you wind up losing this house and losing that relationship and stepping on toes. And then you wind up in a place that you never, ever wanted to be deep within. See, because your spirit knows the way. Right. And the way is the eternal now, right here, right now. It's not reaching for the future. It's not reaching for the past, saying, oh my gosh, why didn't I get that right? Why did I make such a stupid mistake? Why didn't my dad love me when I was 7 years old and he abandoned the family? And I've had to just deal with this resentment and bitterness and anger and this anguish. Why did my mom do what she did and slept with all the guys and all that kind of stuff? I'm not talking about my life, but I'm just talking about this thing in general, right? And so we've all got dysfunction at different levels, but it's not about reaching in the past or even reaching into the future for a better day. That's ego. OK, Okay. Ego is a powerful thing when you feed it, when you give it that raw meat of attention. You know what? Ego is going to drive your life. We see it all over the place. You know what the beauty is of this COVID thing? If you can find the silver lining in it, it's this. It's caused the whole world to stop for a moment and to realize something that, oh, okay, if we have any level of awareness, some people don't, they're going to go right back to their madness. But I'm talking about people that have some level of awareness and they've woke up. They're going, ooh, I didn't like that job anyway. It took me away from my family. I'm enjoying this time with my family. Yeah, we may butt heads once in a while and the kids are a little nasty, their little attitudes, but man, I wouldn't trade this for anything. I don't want to go back to that madness. See, there's many, many things going on behind the scenes right now that many religious Christians just don't want to acknowledge. See, the world of religion says, well, I want to get back to my church service. I need to get back to my real life because I can't pay the rent. Okay, those things are legit. We give credence to those and we give honor to those things where it's due. But I would say this, those that are running back and want running back full force to what they once were doing, it's going to be like a binge effect. You're going to be binging and drive yourself even deeper into those areas. And then did you really, here's the question, the golden question of the day, did you really become aware and see and revelate in that which God had you in isolation for? I've mentioned this several times on social media and writing, and people just don't get it. It goes right over their heads. Some do, but most of the majority, I would say, are just you know what, shut up, John. Just get me back to my church service. Just get me back to my previous life of making money, making that cash, brother. I can't be late on another bill. My wife's going to kill me. Or my husband is going to leave me, you know, kind of mentality. And for any believer listening to this, you know, because, you know, I have people listening to this from all walks, but any believer in Christ listening to this, if you have that kind of mentality where ego is driving the show and you think it's been the devil isolating you this whole time, then I would just suggest to you that your God is not big enough in your life. Because if we've shrunk him down to the measure of the devil winning and the devil causing the whole world to stop for a moment, then he didn't do his job on the cross. I'm just saying. And that is not true. Either he kicked the devil's face in 2,000 years ago, or we're all screwed. You know what I'm saying? So when you think about this from a sobering, aware perspective, then you'll soon realize that, wait, any level of isolation, any level of having to shelter in place is not a curse. Why? Because God knows how to take care of his own. Even if I'm out of work 3, 4, 5, 6 months, then instead of panicking through the voice of ego, we would do well to still ourselves and silence that bad boy and say, no, you are not dictating my life. You are not running the show here. Spirit man is. And where is spirit? Where is God's spirit? Where is Holy Spirit? Where is Christ in my life? He's with me right here in isolation behind these closed doors. And so I would do well to silence the crashing noises in my mind. And I'm going to still myself and say, wow, God's got this. And keep practicing that day after day for as long as it takes for you to walk out of that room and back to an open society where you can take it or leave it. Because until we come to a place where we can take or leave any level of success, any level of open doors back into society's openness, then we are in a position to be promoted in every single way. See, Paul said this, I've learned how to be content in every circumstance, whether I am in trouble, whether I have much, whether I have little, whether I'm in luxurious situations, or whether I don't have a dime to my name and I'm walking down the street not knowing where my next meal is going to come from. I am perfectly okay with Christ because he has my back. And that's not theory. That's not head knowledge. That is truth. So if you can just settle into the fact that, wait a minute, I don't have to argue with this. Ego wants to, head knowledge wants to, reasoning and all that intellectual stuff wants to argue against the fact that you were raised in a survival household, so how can you trust this good father? So that's the war of ego. But our job is to silence ego by remaining in silence as often as possible and listening and watching and allowing God to bring up those things in our spirit where we can see he is in fact taking care of us. And when we see the bad stuff from our past come up in front of our movie screen in our spirit, in our spiritual insight, when we see it in our mind's eye, then we go, ooh, because I'm made of love, I'm going to love that little boy or that little girl that was neglected at 7, that was neglected at 8 and 9 and 10 years old, or whatever the age. I'm going to send love to that child. And all you do, how do you send love? You just look at what God is presenting in front of you and believing it by faith that he is the one that's bringing up these memories. He is the one that's bringing up these wounded places in us when you still yourself in meditation or silence or soaking. And these things come up in front of you, then you begin to realize, wait a minute, this is Holy Spirit showing me something. This isn't the devil trying to torment me in my place of bliss. No, no, no. This is a mature process. This is a maturing process right now. God is trying to mature me. And so I'm going to look at this thing and I'm going to simply say, I love you. I love you. See, you can do this at every level. You can do this if a nasty thought comes up in your head, like a lust thought, or you can do this when some thing triggers anger in you, some nasty experience from your past, some hardship or trauma or rejection or abandonment. When it comes up in your mind's eye, when you're sitting there in stillness, you can look at that thing and send love to it. Why is that important? Because you're made of love, again, but also you're sending love to that little boy or that little girl that was neglected. And I tell you, the more you do that, the more you'll become free. That's why it's so important to meditate, to saturate, to soak, to worship before the Lord, and to quiet your mind. It doesn't have to be high praise. In fact, in high praise and high worship situations where it's loud, those are good. But I've found that when you go into a quiet time of a instrumental worship time or just some kind of soaking music or maybe no music at all and you're in silence, that's when these things begin to appear after 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever time you have. God knows that. And he's not going to berate you if you don't have more than 10 minutes, but he'll take it. He'll take the 10. And it's so important for our freedom, our transformation, and our deliverance. It works way better than a deliverance session trying to cast some 15,000 demons out of you that aren't even there. Okay, that's a whole nother message right there, buddy. I'll just leave that one lie. But man, I could go on for days about spiritual warfare and how it's just turned us into more of an orphan mindset and mentality that casts blame on an entity that may not even be around you or in you. Okay, it's so important to understand these things from a practical, childlike, simplistic level, because God is in the moment, in the now, in that place of play with us, and joy and peace and all the elements of the fruit that are so light and so effortless in their flow, in their nature, in their character, in their makeup, that we just don't understand how simple these things are. If you look at all 9 elements of the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness, the kindness, the long-suffering, self-control, and the saturation of these things, when you look at them, they're all elements of rest. And they're all elements of authenticity and genuine expression when they're expressed to another person that you love or you don't love, but you're beginning to start to love, right? Your enemy, so to speak. Love your enemies. The only way you can love your enemies is by allowing the fruit of the Spirit to be produced and matured in you to the point where it just oozes out of your pores. And how do you do that? Again, it's sitting at the feet of Jesus as the one thing. Martha was busy in ego. Mary chose the one thing to live in the present now at the feet of love, because she knew that she was made of love, and she resonated with the waters and the frequency of love himself sitting in front of her. It was a match. It was a kindred revelation, seeing that, wait a minute, love for love, we match. We're made of the same substance here. I could sit here all day long. But see, what ego loves to do is cover that up by busyness. Ego enjoys keeping itself busy so that you don't see the simplicity of sitting in oneness with love that takes care of everything. Okay? Rest is far different. And I want to touch on this for a minute. Rest is far different than laziness. Okay? Laziness does not equal rest, and rest does not equal laziness, unless it is a time to just sit on the couch and rest your body. The rest I'm talking about is a deep-seated soul rest that's embedded in the production of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. This is what Holy Spirit does. He grows us up. These things he produces in us, these nine elements of juicy goodness. Okay? And because he does, there's not much else. And I want to say that because it's the character and the nature of the finished work Jesus that we serve. It's not so much the pre-cross one in the minds of men that are trying to strive to learn more scripture, learn more knowledge, and have the better way of learning and education. In other words, it's not the educated mind so much as it is the childlike surrender of a position that we're already in from the foundation of the world. See, pre-cross was a struggle. Post-cross, after the cross, was like, oh, this is the freedom I always knew was true and available for me. That simply means is that he cast forth an existence that has the potential of an effortless lifestyle in everything we do. But how do we see effortlessness manifest? It's by saying no to ego's demands, the unhealthy ego side of things. And I'm going to clarify that again. Is ego wicked and evil? Not all the way. Why? Because ego, there's a part of us that there's a, the, if, how could I say this? It's, there's a quote, healthy side of ego that says, look, I need to take care of myself. I need to make sure that I'm healthy. I need to, you know, take the time to go on vacation and rest and take the time to, you know, work out hard if I'm getting in shape and that kind of thing. That is not the side of ego I'm talking about. I'm talking about the side of ego that takes us far away from a service mind, a service mentality, a surrendered lifestyle into the bliss of unconditional love. And see, ego can't, it just cannot stay in those waters of unconditional life. The love and the acceptance and the approval of who this amazing God is that indwells us, that lives in us and moves and has his being inside of us and us in him. It's this ever back and forth ebb and flow of the oceanic tide of who we are as God-like people in the earth. See, we're just clothed in human skin, but we're really the little G's. We're a part of God and who he is, but our own free will given to walk this thing out called planetary existence in our own humanity that brings about the goodness and the greatness and the unconditional love of the Father to show people that he is real and that he exists and that he loves everyone unconditionally. See, we put all these conditions on people because ego is taking its stand in its 40,000 plus denominational mindsets. And because it does, it's embedded in fear. See, the way to overcome fear is what? Mature love casts out all fear. See, it's not enough to say perfect love casts out all fear. Okay, well, great. I can mentally assent there. Okay, what does that mean? It's not happening for me right now, pal. What are you talking about, John? Well, yeah, it's not working because it's not to be mentally dissected through an educated mind or an analytical persuasion. It's a surrendering to, because you know that that's who you are. See, ego casts forth this illusion upon your life that says that is unattainable, to live in the bliss and the effortlessness of an unadulterated, perfect, mature, unconditional love that always, 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 always takes care of us. Always takes care of us. The reason you don't think love takes care of you is because ego is lying to you, saying, I gotta have more. See, if you lost everything physical today, if you lost every single thing that was physical today that you could see in front of you, everything, including your health, God forbid, but if you did, ego would always make you believe, or try to make you believe, the lie that just like it tried to do to Job, see, through his friends, right? See, look, is this your God? He's not taking care of you. You got boils all over you, Job. People are dying that you love all around your life. You lose all of your money and your wealth, and COVID slapped you upside the head, and you're hosed, buddy. What are you going to do? You can't do anything. You're going to die, Job. Why don't you just curse God and die, because you're a loser. You can't take care of me. Wife speaking. Imagine what that man went through. And here he is, a flawless man, righteous man. He's a righteous man. I wouldn't say flawless. Nobody is. But you get what I'm saying. We're flawless in oneness with the Lord, yes. But he wasn't without mistake. He was just a righteous, upright man. See, there's a difference there too, which I will teach on at another time. But you get my point, is that, look, just because we get everything right doesn't mean that adversity is not going to strike. The issue is whether you believe that God will take care of you in the midst of challenge and difficulty. See, again, this is where ego tries to lie to us, saying, you're going to sink this time, pal. There's no way out for you. But it couldn't be further from the truth, because it's just the opposite. Just know this. Anytime you hear that lie swim by in your mind to say that you're a loser or you're not going to make it, just know that that is ego trying to take you out and say, you've got to go back into survival mode and serve me, because look, God's not providing for you. And how could you be a loser to your wife? How could you be a loser to your family anyway, because you can't even pay the rent? Can I just tell you that you are always taken care of? It's your interpretation of what that care looks like is the issue. Again, filtered through egoic stance. Okay, if you lost everything, let's get back to that. If you lost everything today, what you do have and that will never leave you is spirit. And because you're one with his spirit, he knew this was going to happen before it happened. What he's trying to get you to become aware of is that you really don't need things to be happy. You really don't need things in order to move forward and be taken care of. See, we just think we do, because that's what society throws at us, especially in America or westernized nations, is that, look, we got to have the car and the picket fence and the three-car garage. We got to have the two-story house. We got to have the best of the best surfboard. I've got to have the best toys. And if I don't, I won't look good in the eyes of my fellow man. See, ego again. Here we go, ego. Here we go. Here we ego again. Yeah. Been there, done that, wore that flipping t-shirt clear out, and I didn't even give it to the Goodwill. I burnt that baby and threw it in the ocean. And then I polluted the ocean and drowned the fish. No, I didn't do that. See, everything has a consequence, right? Everything has a trickle-down effect and a consequence. It's like, OMG. Yeah. So how's that egoic stance working out for you? That's my question. How's it working out for you? How's that baby working out for you? It's not. So my challenge to you, I'm going to wrap it up here and do another part three. I think we just take this baby on to another level. We'll do a part three coming up, but just chew on that for a little bit. I know I said a lot, but chew on the simplicity of, look, is it really about things? Is it really about taking my stand in the future and dreaming for a better day? Because when I get to the better day, I'll always want something else. So it's really not, life isn't found there. Okay. You may get your thrill for a little bit and then the newness wears off and then you're like, I want the next thing. Okay. That's ego screaming at you to live there. What is going to be your freedom is a continual discipline, if you will, of surrendering through rest and effortless ability. See, the discipline is not a hard thing. What I mean is a repetition. Repetition sounds a little better. A repetitive letting go and surrender and remaining in the moment. See, because when you live in the moment, like I said in part one, you have no needs and wants forcing you and driving you. Again, it's not bad to have wants and desires and dreams. There's nothing wrong with that. Joseph had a dream, okay? But it's the pathway to get there is what's either tormenting to your life or blissful to your life. See, Joseph had the choice in prison. And he chose ego for a while, you can tell, because he wanted out. He said, go tell that Pharaoh I need out of here. I'm an innocent man. That's ego screaming a little bit right there, wanting out of the fire. But when he settled into the living in the now, then he took responsibility and he walked out his dream in prison. He had a gift of leadership. He led the people in prison. They entrusted him with that. You read that plainly in Genesis. But then something happened when he let go to live in the moment. Then happiness reached outside the bars. The contented happiness reached outside the iron bars and called unto magnetism for love to come and open the cage to set him free. Pharaoh has need of you, Joseph. It's time. Come on, give the interpretation. And you know the story. Boom, he's placed in charge in a moment. He's the prime minister. See, you never know what's around the corner for your life when you begin to cultivate living in the present. All right, we'll pick it up again. Much love to you. If you don't have this podcast downloaded, you can get it in iTunes. Just go and search for End of Effort. Please share this if you feel so inclined to. I'd love to get the responses in return. Thanks so much for your encouragement, all who have responded. You're awesome. Chat soon.